30 years ago, hundreds of law enforcement agents, led by the FBI, stormed a North Arkansas Ozarks farm, headquarters of the extremist white militia organization called the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord. On the anniversary of the raid, Ozarks at-large Jacqueline Froelich talks to a former CSA lieutenant, as well as to a reporter who covered the three-day standoff, and she has this report.
Texas-born Carrie Noble, a Christian preacher, joined a small rural religious community in Marion County in the late 1970s. He found a secluded 220-acre farm near Bull Shoals Reservoir, which had been purchased by James Ellison, also a Texas minister. Ellison named the farm Zarephath Horeb after an Old Testament Hebrew Exodus settlement. Within 5 years, the community had adopted Christian identity, an extreme ideology that sought to exile and exterminate blacks, Jews, and homosexuals from American soil. And at that point, 32 families were living on the heavily armed compound. By summer 1984, James Ellison and Carrie Noble conspired to launch their white revolution. Carrying guns and explosives, Noble was dispatched to Kansas City, to the gay district, where he targeted the gay Metropolitan Community Church.
And one of the men from the farm and I went there, sat down, took the briefcase full of C4 in there, set the timer, and then leave. And then about 5 minutes later, the place would blow up.
Instead, Noble says, he got caught up with the service and the congregation.
They were sons and daughters of somebody else and had brothers and sisters. And once that revelation hit me, then I knew I couldn't proceed with the plan. I knew I couldn't kill them.
Noble returned to the farm, as he refers to it, and was secretly preparing to leave when he said God instructed him to stay. A year later, in the spring of 1985, 300 law enforcement led by the FBI swarmed the compound.
For the most part, most everybody, especially the men, were wanting to shoot it out, just trying to figure out how.
Members of the neo-Nazi group, The Order, hiding at the compound, urged Ellison to declare war. But by the second day, Carrie Noble says he engaged with lead negotiator, FBI Assistant Deputy Director Danny Colson. The following day, CSA leaders surrendered. No gunfire, no bloodshed. Ellison ended up in prison, convicted on federal racketeering and corruption charges, pleading to weapons charges. He was sentenced to only 8 years for turning state's evidence against other white extremist leaders. After James Ellison was released, Christian identity leader Robert Millar provided him haven at his religious community called Elohim City in East Central Oklahoma.
Married one of Robert Millar's granddaughters, and he's still there to this day. He's in really, really bad health. He's starting to have dementia, and he's wheelchair-bound.
Now, Carrie Noble was arrested on weapons charges, serving just 2 years in federal prison, and he remains convicted about his role as mediator.
I do think that if I hadn't obeyed the Lord, if I hadn't stayed, then I think that there would have been a shootout.
Carrie Noble's chronicled his time with the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord in his book Tabernacle of Hate, now in its third printing. The 63-year-old author has been profiled in national broadcast and print media, sharing his story with law enforcement, human rights, schools, and civic groups. But Michael Hadigan, who teaches journalism at the University of Central Arkansas, doesn't buy Carrie Noble's story. He was desk reporter for the Arkansas Gazette when he was assigned to cover the FBI raid on the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord in the spring of 1985.
I believe there were about 300 FBI, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms federal agents, and state police, and probably some Marion County, Baxter County sheriff's deputies in the area.
When Hadigan showed up outside the front gate, he learned 60 men, women, and children were sequestered inside the 20 or so structures.
There were some trailers on the property and a few stone houses, and we later learned bunkers and other fortifications.
Because by that point, CSA members had accumulated a huge weapons cache and were undergoing strategic military training.
One of the things was a sort of improvised armored car. They found some improvised hand grenades, 100 or so rifles, another 30 handguns, thousands of rounds of ammunition, all sorts of explosives. They had C4, dynamite, blasting caps, smoke grenades, all sorts of different things.
Michael Hadigan had been routinely covering extremist groups and characterized the CSA as a cult with a violent vision.
Civilization would break down, and they were true survivalists. They intended to defend themselves and defend the food and ammunition and whatnot that they had. So they were sort of preparing for the apocalypse.
And the CSA aimed to create Armageddon.
The authorities also found 30 gallons of potassium cyanide. The plan of the CSA apparently was to pour it into the reservoirs of various cities to start, in their mind, a race war, which would precede the apocalypse.
Hadigan says that James Ellison, leader of the Covenant Sword and Arm of the Lord, fancied himself as the King of the Ozarks.
He had a dream, and that God had told him to declare himself King James of the Ozarks. However, there were a number of other camps throughout the Midwest, four or five of them, maybe six, where they had similar groups, and they all saw themselves as being, part of a kind of a monarchical system.
Lower caste members had to eat, so the men, all of them outsiders, none of them from Arkansas, Hadigan says, earned their living logging.
Initially, I think they cut cedar, and they were known among the local farmers as the Cedar Boys or the Cedar Brothers. And the people in the area thought that they were hardworking guys and Christians, as they understood it. But I think they were also a little freaked out by all the weaponry and sound of gunfire and whatnot that came from the camp during training.
And on the first day of the FBI standoff, media stationed themselves at the front gate.
At one point, the FBI turned up, and an agent came to us and said, "Look, we know you guys are here to get the story, and we're not going to get in your way, but we need you to move away." And they moved us back a little bit. And then an hour or two later, they came and moved us back a little more and a little bit more. And eventually we were, out of the area. They moved us out of there.
How far away by that point at the end were you?
Oh, probably a quarter of a mile. They had already taken up positions around the camp the night before. And so they were just, tightening the noose.
By far the most dangerous CSA member was Richard Wayne Snell. And had he been present at the time of the raid, he would have likely triggered a conflagration. But a year earlier, he had been arrested for attempting to blow up a natural gas pipeline and murdering two men, one being Lewis Perry Bryant, a black Arkansas State Police trooper and beloved son of Fayetteville residents Lewis and Jesse Bryant. Snell would later be executed by lethal injection. Some believe that American terrorist Timothy McVeigh bombed the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City in 1995 as payback for Snell's execution that year, as well as for the federal raid on the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas, ending with the death of 76 members, dying in a fiery inferno set by cult leader David Koresh. Arkansas Gazette reporter Michael Hadigan later learned that law enforcement had also been surveilling Snell and the CSA compound as domestic terrorists.
They were interested in the CSA since at least 1982, and they had been watching, and I think they probably had some undercover informants among the group, and that's where they got their intelligence, and they knew that some members of the CSA had scouted the Fort Smith Federal Building and the Fayetteville Federal Building, and Snell himself had apparently scouted the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. So they knew that, these folks had ill intent.
Hadigan insists it was the FBI and not Cary Noble who intimidated leaders at the CSA compound into submission.
Ellison, from what I gather, was sort of willing to surrender. But a couple of members of the order who were hiding out there, they're sort of hard cases, and they didn't want to come out without a fight. One of the stories I heard, this is secondhand, but the FBI had just gotten a hold of one of the 50 caliber sniper rifles that we're now familiar with, and it was one of the early issues, and they told the CSA folks in plain terms that, look, we can shoot through concrete block and sandbags, and you know, none of you are safe. We can take all of you out if we want to. And I suspect that probably impressed Ellison and his lieutenant, Kerry Noble, and eventually led them to negotiate with our now Governor Asa Hutchinson and to end the raid peacefully.
Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, at the time serving as U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Arkansas, made national headlines for processing the arrests on site and later prosecuting the case. Michael Hadigan said in the midst of the raid, he had occasion to ask Kerry Noble if there were significant stores of weapons on the farm.
He said, "Oh no, we just have the same amount of weapons that you know, the average farmer in the Ozarks would have." And of course, it turns out that you know, one single shotgun is not what they had. They had plenty more than that.
Michael Hadigan believes Kerry Noble's self-professed redemption is fiction. As for the farm-turned-covenant, sword, and arm of the Lord compound, the crumbling cabins and bunkers have been razed, replaced by a peaceful subdivision. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
To see a slideshow on CSA history, you can visit ozarksatlarge.com.